Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to continue our conversation about theologies in conflict. Last week, we began a series about the conflict of religions in this country. I made a point that what we're seeing in America today is not a divide between conservatives and liberals. It's much less Republicans versus Democrats. Rather, the conflicts are driven by two opposing theologies, the theology of Christianity and the theology of humanist secular utopianism, or as it's commonly called, progressivism. Now, my point last week, and what I'm hoping to clarify for us over the next few weeks, is the fact that progressivism is a religion and that it's a religion in conflict with Christianity. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but Luke, a lot of progressives, probably even the vast majority, are atheists. So it can't be a religion. Well, that all depends on how we define religion, doesn't it? Do atheist progressives believe in a theistic God? Well, certainly the atheists don't, but many, if not most, of those who believe in some kind of a God don't have a God that's consonant with the God of biblical Christianity if they hold to the same kind of progressivism that atheists do. Indeed, many of the early American progressives in the late 19th and early 20th century were social gospel Christians, but the God of the social gospel Christians was not the God of biblical Christianity. But ignoring the liberal Christians who were engaged in progressivism, though they once made up a sizable portion of progressivism and still have some influence today, but ignoring them, I want to substantiate the claim that progressivism is a religion. Now again, you might be saying, but Luke, atheists cannot be involved in a religion. But like I said, that all depends on what you mean by religion. And if you want to look up religion in the dictionary, and depending on what dictionary you use, you'll get a different definition. And many of them do say that there has to be a God involved, you know, or you can read anthropologists or sociologists of religion or experts in comparative religion. And I know this sounds crazy, but you could ask a theologian, gasp. And they're all going to give you some slightly different answers on what a religion is, and many of them will indeed say that there has to be some kind of transcendent God involved, but I don't think that's accurate. Let me give you how I'm defining the word, and how I think that it can be defined and defended, and how it makes sense in our current cultural milieu. When I say religion, I mean a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is and how it should be. Now, I know that's very, very simple, and it's also very broad. But consider this definition. A religion is a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is and how it should be. So let's look at my definition piece by piece and see if it makes sense, see if it can hold up. First, I say that religion is a system. Now, I'm pretty firm on this. For something to be a religion, it cannot be a collection of disconnected superstitions. That would be a culture, but not a religion. So, for instance, if someone believes in aliens, Sasquatch and ghosts, but they believe each of these things independently, it isn't a religion because it isn't a system. A religion has to cohere, even if it's incoherent. It has to attempt to hold things together and have a combined explanation. Second, not only does it have to be a system, but it has to be a system of thought. Now, this doesn't mean that all religion is thinking and that behaviors or values aren't involved. Indeed, we'll see those later, but a religion is a system of thought, not merely a system of behaviors. Otherwise, being a major league pitcher, or a welder, or a heart surgeon could be a religion. Those things are all systemic and they're behavioral, but that's not enough. It has to be a system of thought, because thoughts and ideas are how we understand the world, which of course brings us to our next point. Third, a religion has to be a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is. This means that there must be an account, not necessarily an explanation, but an account for why the world is the way that it is. You have to give an account for why there's an earth in the first place. You have to give an account for why there are humans. You have to give an account for death, disease, and despair. You have to give an account for why there is a world and why the world is the way that it is. This means that for something to be a religion, it has to have a creation and a fall if it's going to show us how we got here and why things are the way they are. That means that the Big Bang Theory isn't a religion. Yes, it attempts to give an account for why the universe is in its current form, but it doesn't give an account for the way the world is, i.e. why there is pain and suffering and why people care about it. The theory of evolution is not a religion, because while it explains why there is death and disease, it doesn't explain where anything came from, nor why we care. However, progressivism, which is a religion, accepts the Big Bang and Darwinian evolution as part and parcel of its system, at least the atheistic versions of progressivism do, which is what we're focusing on here. Fourth, a religion is a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is and how it should be. And the emphasis is on how it should be. Notice that word should. That's the most important word, because should implies volition and obligation and morality. This is the key component. But by itself, it isn't a religion. You can have people who have all kinds of opinions on how the world should be, but if they don't give an explanation of the way the world is, then it's not a religion. If having opinions on how the world should be were a religion, then every three-year-old on Earth would be the founder of their own religion. No, a religion has to explain not only how the world should be, but why it is the way that it is now, and it has to do it systematically with thoughts and ideas. Now again, I know that a lot of people are going to disagree with me because they think that a religion has to involve a supernatural being. I disagree. If something meets the criteria I've listed above, then that thing is a system of thought that explains the origins of the world and gives an accounting for the human condition and then makes moral statements about how people ought to behave. And all of this is based on faith. Any account of origins is based on faith. It can't be else. You weren't there to see creation, so you can only accept an explanation on faith. You don't know why anyone does anything, often to include yourself. You have to have faith that the explanations you have for human behavior are accurate. And you can't prove moral values. You can simply accept them on faith. So a religion, as I've defined, is a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is and how it should be. That means that it's a faith-based account for the creation, human nature, and moral values and obligations. That sounds pretty religion-y to me. So let's consider now progressivism, and for our purposes, we're going to restrict ourselves to atheistic progressivism. Now, is progressivism a system? Yes. Is it a system of thought? Yes. Is progressivism a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is? Yes. Atheistic progressivism holds to materialist Darwinism, so they would accept something like the Big Bang, and would believe that all life came from non-life at some point after everything came from nothing. So progressivism has a creation account, and the various versions of progressivism also have a fall. With Marx, it was capitalism that alienated workers from the wealth generated by their labor. For the fascists, it was racial enemies that weakened the Rasse or the Volk. For humanists, it's society. For the woke, it's whiteness. For environmentalists, it's carbon emissions. For the neo-Malthusians, it's population growth. Because all the progressive visions of why humanity is the way it is have to give an accounting for why the world sucks. I mean, Buddhists just did an end run and said that pain isn't really real, so don't worry about it, but that seems like a lazy answer to most people. And by seems like a lazy answer to most people, I mean it's a lazy answer and it's a non-answer and don't take Buddhism seriously. Lastly, is progressivism a system of thought that gives an account for the way the world is and how it should be? Yes. Because all of those above gave us an ought to follow up the is. For the communists, it was a worldwide proletarian revolution to overthrow the bourgeoisie. For the fascists, it was the Holocaust. For the humanists, it's getting rid of spanking and everyone just being naked or whatever the latest claptrap is. For the woke, it's modern injustice to overcome past injustice. For environmentalists, it's the Green New Deal. For the neo-Malthusians, it's China's one-child policy or forced sterilization or war. But if you notice, embedded in every one of those progressive positions is the idea that the world can be improved through human knowledge and will and political power. There is fundamentally, in all the atheistic progressivisms, a belief that the world is wrong, but that it can be better. And more importantly, they believe that this progress is the inevitable conclusion of history, which is why progressives are always talking about being on the right side of history. And even more importantly, they believe that at the culmination of history, the world will be at peace, and that all people, at least all people who matter, will be truly flourishing. Emphasis on all the people who matter will be flourishing. And more importantly, this is a moral imperative to make the world the way they envision it. And most importantly, they should be the ones who make the world the way that they believe it ought to be. It's a utopianism. All modern atheist progressivisms are all utopian at their heart. And yes, to be sure, the Bible has a vision of utopia. It's called the millennium. And yes, progressivism absolutely mirrors the biblical story. Progressivism is Christianity without Christ. It's creation, fall, redemption, and utopia, but it's a godless utopia. And it's one that has no external moral standards. Throughout the Bible, the problem of evil is taken seriously. The Bible says that there are things God cannot do because they would violate his nature. The Bible has people questioning God's righteousness and asking whether the judge of all the earth will do right. The Bible has a moral standard, and that is the standard of God's transcendent moral character. But God is bound by that character, and it's one that we can know and we can appeal to. The progressive has no transcendent moral standard. To men like Hitler, Stalin, and Mao, it didn't matter how many people you had to murder if it meant utopia for the survivors. For our contemporary progressives, it doesn't matter if you break the law and violate the Constitution as long as the progress of history moves forwards. For the American atheist progressives, it doesn't matter who has to be disenfranchised or robbed or harmed or murdered. It doesn't matter whose rights are violated. It means nothing to lie and cheat as long as progress, capital P progress, is achieved. And that's because progress, and this is a capital P progress, is the only moral good. And if not the only, then it's the highest, to the degree that it might as well be the only. And when progress is the only moral good, then anything that opposes progress is, by definition, not only a moral evil, but a blasphemy. That's why we're seeing the heightened emotions and violent outbursts in our political scene today. That's why we're seeing the anger and the crudeness. That's why we're seeing the hatred in the rhetoric and in the actions. That's why we see the cheating and the lying and the illegality and the unconstitutionality and all of these moral evils going on. It's because the progressives view themselves as the good guys in a holy war and their opponents as the blasphemous heathens and heretics who oppose what is good. And all throughout human history, there has been only one penalty for blasphemy. Friends, I hope I'm being clear, but this is a very complex subject. You could do years of reading and study on this topic. It is deep and complex, but in the end, it boils down to this. Progressives treat progressivism as a religion, and as a religion, it has moral values and obligations. Progress is the highest and really the only good. Thus, whatever leads to progress is admissible and even laudable. Whatever resists progress is evil and blasphemous. This means that progressivism is a religion. And it's a religion in conflict with Christianity. Yes, these are very similar religions, no doubt about that. And it's the very similarity of these religions that makes the conflict all the more confusing and all the more fierce. Because we want many of the same things, Christians and progressives. And we often use the same words, but make no mistake, progressivism and Christianity are not the same. Indeed, they are incompatible. Despite the similar language, they are different. Christianity says that a transcendent God created the universe because it pleases him. Atheist progressivism says a causeless, purposeless, meaningless explosion set everything in motion. Christianity says that man is made in the image of God and that all people have inherent worth and dignity. Atheist progressivism says that men are hairless apes who won the brain and thumb lottery and they don't have inherent and inviolable dignity and value. Christianity says that man was created to rule the planet as co-regents in communion with God. Progressivism says that we have no purpose. Christianity says that because of disobedience to God, sin and death entered the world. Progressivism has many versions of the fall, but they all reject that we've offended a creator God. Christianity says that we are all born evil and sinners in Adam. Progressivism says that we are all born good and are only corrupted by society or some other thing. Christianity says that we cannot be improved without being born again and led by the Spirit. Progressivism says that progress comes from having the right leadership and enough willpower. Christianity says that God became man and died to save us and to redeem us. Progressivism says that redemption comes from the right people getting enough power. Christianity says that God will bring about the kingdom for those who love God and wish to serve him. Progressivism says that utopia will be brought about when the right people get enough power and either win over or kill all of their enemies. I could go on and on, but I hope you're seeing the point. These are religions. Christianity and progressivism are religions, and they are religions in conflict. And as you watch the strife and the conflict in our country, attempt to view this. When you put on the news, when you see riots and you see railroading, you know, kangaroo courts, when you see the cheating in Congress and you see the lying of our politicians and you see all of these bad things, attempt to see it not through the lens of left and right and libs and cons, but see it as the conflict of atheist progressive utopians against Christians. and see if that isn't a better explanation. I believe it is, and I believe that it's ultimately the only explanation. Now, next week, we're going to continue our conversation on these theologies in conflict, so I hope you'll join us then for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.